This is Fresh Air. Last month, Robert Venturi won architecture's most prestigious award, the Pritzker Prize. When Venturi started working, the dictum of modern architecture was, less is more. In response, Venturi said, less is a bore. He argued for messy vitality, for complexity and contradiction, and for decoration, which was anathema to many modernists building steel and glass boxes. My guests are Venturi and Denise Scott Brown. They're partners in a Philadelphia-based firm. They're also married. Venturi, Scott Brown, and Associates designed the new wing of the National Gallery in London, which will open this summer, and they're working on a new performance hall for the Philadelphia Orchestra. Venturi and Scott Brown have collaborated on buildings as well as writings, including the now classic book Learning from Las Vegas. The Pritzker jury citation said that the pair changed the course of architecture in this century, allowing architects and consumers the freedom to accept inconsistencies in form and pattern, and to enjoy popular taste. Venturi has been credited with saving modern architecture from itself. I asked what he wanted to save it from.
Some people considered me very radical and considered that my stance was anti-modern architecture in a very simple way. I think my stand was not that. I consider myself still a modern architect, and I was criticizing modern architecture as it had become, which was a very kind of, it had developed into a rigid ideology. The young students who were studying it were almost like seminarians rather than students. They were getting the word, and the implication was that there was no opportunity to go beyond and to see modern architecture in the context of history and as an appropriate mode for the time.
And the word was what? The ideology was what?
The ideology was many things, but the in aesthetic terms, it was simplicity, consistency, minimalism, strict rigidity, not the acceptance of contradiction, all of those things that made in the end not for sort of beautiful purity but kind of dead purity.
You came up with the phrase messy vitality to describe what you were after.
Yes.
And what did you mean by that?
Well, I think there was a lot of what I wrote about, and Denise Scott Brown influenced me here very much, was the manifestation of modernism in the urban landscape. And I think people were beginning to realize, other people were at the time, that a lot of places where modernism had won out, especially in urban renewal, the results were dead. People didn't like living in them. They were a kind of imposition of one elitist culture that by now was dead on into a situation where we really are and were then into many different cultures that had to be acknowledged in our time. This is no longer the time for a universal idealistic pure and elitist art, if you will.
One of the buildings that you're working on now is for your hometown of Philadelphia. Well, it's the town you're in now.
Right. It is my hometown.
Yeah, okay, because sometimes that means you're originally from there. Mm. Okay, so it's basically a new home for the Philadelphia Orchestra that you're designing. Give me a sense of what you're thinking about with this building.
For the building itself and for the orchestra, we had to think very hard of the fact that people could listen to the Philadelphia Orchestra on CDs in their home. And the building needs to help structure a festival, a festive situation, a gala occasion, which makes you want to come to Philadelphia and be in this building and be part of a group who are sharing the music. And the architecture of the building is designed to help produce that gala occasion in how you enter it, how you go to your seat. And when you sit in your seat and the enthralling moment of the beginning of the concert happens, you are aware of all the people sharing it with you as well as the orchestra sharing it with you. You feel as if you're in a room and you can feel that electricity that you can't feel at home. This is what the building must help the orchestra to do.
One of the things, to get back a little to what Denise was saying, is I think one of the most wonderful things that the board of the the Philadelphia Orchestra did was to decide to locate this building downtown. In the last 50 years, practically any concert hall that you can think of in the United States has been built at the edge of town to make it convenient for the suburbanites, to where the land is relatively cheap, and also to make parking, to accommodate parking. And it was very courageous and very appropriate, and Philadelphians ought to be grateful for this, that they said, no, we're going to put it downtown, and we're going to truly derive the benefits ourselves being downtown, but we're also going to contribute in the ways that Denise said.
My guests are architects Robert Venturi and Denise Scott Brown. More after the short break. This is Fresh Air. We're talking about architecture with Denise Scott Brown and Robert Venturi. Let me ask you, you're an example of a couple who are your partners in the business. You work on ideas together. You write things together. You're also married. I think it's often true that when people really are very close to each other, they're kind of sharing ideas all the time, and it's sometimes hard to tell where one person's idea ends and the others begin. So how do you go about working together and then deciding whose byline goes on it or whose name goes on it? Who gets the primary credit?
We ourselves don't have a problem. We have a system. But my problem is with the rest of the world. I'm just have very great trouble being recognized at all, as you will notice from the recent Pritzker Prize. And in the area of architectural design, there are so many immeasurables and insecurities and ambitions and emotions of all sorts that truth goes out the window. Critics make of that situation what they personally need to make. And so we can complain all well as much as we like, but we will not. The attributions of the credits and the honors will go as is needed by the society, not as actually it ought to be.
Are you saying that you think it's that there's sexism behind it, that because you're the woman on the team that you're less likely to get acknowledged?
Part of it is sexism. Part of it is the fact that we're dealing with areas that are enormously important to architects, where they sink or swim by whether they're good designers. And yet you can't teach a person really how to be a good designer, and you can't measure whether they are on any measurable scale. And yet architectural success depends on that very unmeasurable element. Therefore, architects need to create gurus, and the gurus help them tread these very difficult areas in the field and very important areas. And the gurus, because most architects are men, the gurus are men. And how that will change with time, I'm not quite sure.
Reverend Ventura, do you share this point of view?
Very, very much so. And I think it's interesting, too, that it's somewhat generational. I think if we were a younger generation, it would be much easier for us to be accepted as true partners and for Denise to be truly an architect and planner. And I think it can happen that your situation, even when the situation changes and the newer generation is accepted, the older situation stays on. It's a funny phenomenon. You'd think that older women, if I may refer to you as an older woman, our older generation, would get some of the benefit from the more enlightened view of today. But somehow it doesn't rub off, and it is a sad situation.
Do you feel in any ways that your work or your theories have been misunderstood or boiled down into certain cliches that don't really apply?
Many, many ironies, because to some people we are elitist, and we are pretty darn educated for architects. I mean, we probably have, for my generation, I have a knowledge of history probably and that very few architects at least then had, and I think have now. On the other hand, we're known as those Las Vegas architects, and then to other people, we are two historicists. So we get it from all directions and so forth. I think it's inevitable that that you're going to be misunderstood. Everybody's been misunderstood. And so it's inevitable that your ideas are going to be somewhat corrupted and you're going to shudder. But it is frustrating to see kind of parodies of what you're thinking and doing. But that's life. And I think if you're doing something subtle and complex, that's inevitable.
Has anybody really expected you to ever do something that you didn't want to do because of the cliches about you?
It is sad in a way for us that we have not been able to do commercial architecture. We would like to do commercial architecture. We have done, on the other hand, we're very happy to be architects. We've got a lot of opportunity in institutional architecture, which is also fascinating.
When you say commercial architecture, do you mean like a fast food building or a corporate headquarters?
A corporate headquarters and also maybe a hotel on a strip or something like that would be very interesting to us.
Why would you like to do it, and why aren't you getting offers like that?
I guess we are thought of as too intellectual and highfaluting and so forth. The irony is that the buildings we do are much more difficult and complex. There's nothing more complex in a way than a museum, perhaps much more complex than an office building, which is highly repetitive from many stories up. But if you have a reputation for being a highfaluting institutional architect, it's hard to get that other kind of work, even though we've written about it a lot very sympathetically.
So would you like to do a hotel on a big gaudy strip like Las Vegas?
We'd love
yes.
it.
Yeah?
Yes.
Well, tell me some of the things you'd want to put in it if you could do that.
Well, we might make the whole facade a sign, you know, blinking and stuff like that. I don't know. It's hard to know.
Depends where and what the purpose of the hotel was.
In some ways, I hate to speculate. I rather like to be challenged by the immediate situation. But I think we could do something good. But on the other hand, we love doing our institutional work.
We've been in hundreds of hotels, and we love looking at hotels. And we'd analyze quite carefully. There are several ways of being in a hotel. There's this type of hotel with big ballrooms and big conference rooms. There's the type that followed it, which stressed the little series of small lounges. And then there's a third type, and analyze the pros and cons of each for the particular problem.
You know what I really like about good, like, institutional or public architecture? Mm-hmm. They're like the public palaces when it's really built well. Mm-hmm. You know, anyone can go to them, especially if it's something like a library where there's no admission. I mean, in a concert hall, there is an admission. But it's your chance to be in a really grand, big, fantastic place. Movie theaters used to be like that. They're not anymore.
I completely agree. It's that kind of thing is what makes a city great, where buildings that have a civic scale, a monumentality in the good sense of that word, and where you as an individual can be awed but also feel at home and not be intimidated and love the richness.
Feel like
of
a
the
citizen.
Effect. Feel like a citizen. That's what a good city should produce.
Any statements you've ever made in print that have been repeated that you really wish you could take back because they've been so misinterpreted or you've changed your mind?
Less is a bull.
Less is a bore. Messy vitality. Main Street is almost all right. No, I generally like them. And since we're not in public life too much, we don't have too many opportunities to make faux pas that are then taken up.
I think less is a bore is terrific. I think that's really catchy. And it does sum up.
Yeah.
I mean, you were reacting against less is more, which is that minimalist aesthetic that you thought.
The only reason I said less is a bore is because less is more was said by Mies van der Rohe, and Mies van der Rohe was a very wonderful architect, and in his way, very complex.
Oh, so you didn't intend that as a put-down of van der Rohe, but of just the architects that tried to follow in his footsteps and became boring instead of fresh
it's
and original.
It's very complex, because we do love modern, the great period of modern architecture, Le Corbusier, Aalto, Wright, and so forth.
I want to thank you both very much for talking with us.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Architects Robert Venturi and Denise Scott Brown. Venturi just won architecture's most prestigious award, the Pritzker Prize. This is Fresh Air.